Hi, hello, and welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. My name is Beatriz Valero, and today I'm joined by the co-founders of Holo, Michael Hunter, the CEO, and Aaron Summerhill, the CEO. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you both and to talk about this very interesting subject, which is PropTech, and obviously all the exciting things that are happening in Holo. So fintech and real estate are two of the largest sectors in Dubai and the region as a whole. And what I loved about Holo and PropTech is that it's kind of bringing them together. Can you tell me a little bit more about the benefits of doing that?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, you touch on it's a large industry. It's a large global industry when you look at the PropTech sector. So before we dive into what we do, it's always good to understand what are the problems that exist. So looking at our problems that we're trying to solve for our customers, and then it makes sense as to the approach that we've taken to solving these issues. So when we started Holo, myself and Aaron, we've been in the region for over 12 years, always within banking and finance. And as a result, we've been in the trenches with our customers. We've understood the pain points. And these pain points are fairly consistent what these issues are. So you see that customers do face problems where they're not getting the correct information. Nothing's necessarily in black and white. And there's a lot of stakeholders involved in the home buying journey. So what you tend to find is a lot of conflict of information. So that's where we stepped in. We wanted to make it more transparent. So by providing the customers all the live products available in the market, so we help our customers finance properties and all the costs involved. So rates and costs being the first touch point with us. Following that, we then allow the customer to upload documents, make live applications to the banks within 3 minutes, anytime, anywhere. It's really important that, you know, they could be sat in a coffee shop, could be smoking shisha at 11 o'clock at night, and we can make our mortgage applications. And then following that, we can track it at any point instead of waiting for somebody to phone us. So that was the concept. And obviously, fast forward to today, we've advanced upon that, the product side.
Yeah, I think for ourselves and everybody within the region, buying a property is probably the biggest purchase you're ever going to make in your life. And it was a massively undercated area. So we come from the UK and there's a well-established industry over there. We saw the problems that people were facing here in the UAE and the Middle East. So we looked to take ideas out of what was being done successfully from big players in the US, in the UK, Europe, etc. And it's about bringing accessibility and taking the purchasing process to the next level over here. We want to be able to transact on a property purchase from start to finish. Even today, it's very difficult for people to go to their bank, apply and track the application online. A lot of the lenders don't have that. Then you're kind of submitted your application for financing, you have to go out and find property. You then kind of take that offline, you may go onto one of the big property portals over here as well, and that's another journey that you then have to go through. What we looked at doing was bringing both of those together. So the Holo platform allows somebody to go on, initially start with the financing so they know what they can afford and what to be going out and looking at. But then we also have a system where we push all of our buyers to the platform. All it does is show their requirements, so they could be looking, for argument's sake, for a 2 million dirham apartment on Palm Jumeirah. That gets pushed to the platform, and we work with over 250 real estate agencies here. There's 2,500 registered agents who can then access our buyers, and it's basically like a dating app, if you will, from your match the property that they've got as an agent to our high-intent buyers, and then the buyer just receives versions of properties that are available, so they can then say if they want to go out and view it. And we have our own in-house concierge team, and this is something new for the area. We don't want our customers having to go out and speak to 50 different agents. They may have properties available, they may not. Everything then comes through Holo. We work as their buyer's concierge, and they go out and find their dream home. And that's something that's worked really successfully. The company's growing and growing. What's very exciting for us as well, we are looking at alternative markets as well. So we're in the process of expanding into the Saudi market, where we will be the first digital property platform that caters for mortgage first. So we're very excited about that. We're working at the moment between Dubai and the Riyadh markets. And there's a big boom here in the UAE, prop tech and fintech and combining the two. But Saudi's even bigger. And you get to kind of sit and meet with people, and there's a real buzz about what is going on there. They've got a Vision 2030 plan of increasing home ownership to 70%. How can we then take the prop tech side of that, where people need home ownership, and then link kind of a fintech play into that. And that's what we're trying to do at Hurlum.
That's so exciting. And there's so many things. I love that it's kind of one platform that integrates the whole process instead of just you going to a real estate agent first and then dealing with the bank.
Our ambition is to be a vertical marketplace. That allows us to assist with anything related to a home buying journey. So that can be anything from the mortgage, the property purchase, and the conveyance of the property as well. And then our thoughts are to go beyond that journey ultimately. So how can we help the customer beyond completing a transaction?
And you're talking about Saudi Arabia, which is so exciting. They're making really big investments in the real estate sector, and the whole kingdom is transforming very fast. Do you see a lot of differences in the customers over there compared to the UAE?
Absolutely. It's a different demographic of customers. If you look at the type of markets, the UAE was historically a transient market and has got quite a large expat population, whereas you can flip that in reverse. But when we actually dive into the type of customers that would use our platform, it really falls in line with the Vision 2030, just to get the younger generations buying properties. And a lot of the younger generations have used digital platforms already, so there's no concerns as to the ability for them to use a digital platform.
To jump in on the Saudi side of things, we've got a good client persona in the UAE that we've built up over the last 4 years. So for ourselves, we know what the average age is, what their earnings is, their profile, etc. And when you then take that and you look at the Saudi market, there's a lot of government grants that help first-time buyers get onto the property ladder. So we're probably going to be focusing on anything from kind of 21 upwards as an age group. The good thing is there may be lower income buyers coming to the market there, but because they have the assistance from the government to go on that property ladder. And Michael touched on it earlier, these are the people who they may have studied overseas, they've come back to Saudi, they're used to doing their banking on an app. Why not go and purchase that property on the app? And that's what we're aiming to do. So it's a case of taking what we've done very well here. We have to put a Saudi spin on it, localise it for that market. We're building up a really good team over in Saudi of experienced people to join the Holo team. And yeah, I mean, the big launch hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but it is going to be a different process to what we have here in Dubai.
Very exciting. So one question I had is, obviously, a mortgage, as you said, is like the biggest or one of the biggest purchases a person makes, especially at a young age. And although the process is very cumbersome, people have that trust in banks. Has that been a challenge to turn into an app, or is the population, kind of the young people, used to doing things online?
You know, honestly, it was a concern of ours when we first launched. If you asked us 4.5 years ago, what are our concerns is the trust aspect. But ultimately, over the years, building up the brand, building up the name in the market of what we offer is what we deliver, those challenges don't seem to exist as it stands at the moment. By default of giving the best customer experience, you're going to get referrals from friends and family. And as a result, that trust is instilled in the market. And along with one of the other things is we're an ecosystem enabler. So we don't want to come to the market and disrupt and be a one-man band. We want to be a company that supports other brokerages, other real estate companies, and enable them to grow effectively. So it's not just about building trust with customers directly, it's about building trust with the banks, it's about building trust with all the agencies as well.
I think within the region as well, what you found is historically, people would bank with who their family banked with. My first bank account I opened where my parents had banked. And people have a relationship manager, they've worked with them over the years, and that's always the first port of call probably when anybody's taking any finance, whether you're taking a mortgage out or credit card loans, whatever that's going to be. The good thing about our platform, we always wanted that transparency to be at the forefront. So as you go through the journey on the platform, you'll be able to select from your eligible products. We have all of the banking logos on there. So you could go and choose the cheapest product out there for yourself. You could see that your bank is the fifth cheapest and go, well, actually, I bank with those. I'm going to go and apply with that lender instead. It's amazing how much people within the region like to shop around. Nobody ever, I don't think, is going to go, right, my bank has offered me a deal, I'm going to go with that. They'll get that deal, they'll shop it around. And we've always said over the years, we'll take the Pepsi challenge, as you say. So if our system works as it's supposed to, we're going to give you the best possible deal with the best possible experience. And then you can go off and you can shop around and you can see what deals are out there. Invariably, people do come back to the platform because even if you get a good deal somewhere else, you can't upload your documents online. You can't track your status through an app. We do a lot of volume with a lot of the banks, and what they give us in return is some exclusive deals as well. So in a lot of cases, you walk into your own bank and you might not necessarily secure the same rate that you'd get with Holo. So we're here to give the best possible deals for customers with the best possible experience. Mm. People haven't had a problem with leaving their own banks and going somewhere else.
Perfect. So I was curious to hear a bit more about kind of the technology and that matching process. So the data that you use, is that provided by the brokers and the real estate agents, or how does it work?
So the system itself is, you would land on the Holo platform, and as a consumer, you'd put in the details that normally myself and Michael will take it back a bit, used to have kind of offline mortgage businesses from 2012 onwards. The way we'd work then is we'd go and sit with a customer, we'd do a fact find, we'd find out what they were looking to do, find out a bit more about kind of their long-term plans, what their affordability was, etc. And it was about taking that meeting and putting it online. And mm-hmm. the questions that are on there are basically what we used to ask back in the mm-hmm. day. But as you go through the certain triggers, and in the background, the algorithm will then work out the eligibility as you go through. So depending on your salary, there might be a minimum salary for a particular bank, there might be a maximum loan amount, all these different factors that come into it. And as you go through that process, we don't present you with every product in the market. So we work with all of the banks in the UAE. We have their products in our back end. As you progress through, the algorithm will select the products that you're eligible for, nothing else, then presents them in price order. You can filter by the setup costs in various ways. So as it goes through, it basically eliminates everything else and it puts the decision at the customer's fingertips. We're not presenting two or three options and saying they are the best. Mm. You can scroll through, you can select the cheapest, etc. So it's just digitizing what a traditional offline broker would do. The algorithm did take some tweaking, and again, we'll be tweaking it again once we launch into Saudi. But a mortgage process generally across the world is fairly similar.
I would just add on to that. So we're talking about one part of our journey, which is getting the customer the best possible mortgage. Yeah. Coming from a finance and banking background, mm-hmm. that's what we know, it's what we love. We love the market here. But what we quickly established was there are other issues. So mm-hmm. we've solved an issue where our customer doesn't need to go around all the banks, take 8 or 9 weeks to gather all that information. That can be done in 2 or 3 minutes. The next issue is once you've got that pre-approval, you're in the market again and then you've got to find a property. So you're almost replicating the same yeah. issue with a different product. So what we decided, we looked at it, and I think Aaron touched on previously that we didn't want to go and start a real estate company. We wanted to support our existing real estate companies that we work with. So how can we build a tool that keeps our buyers that come directly to us within our ecosystem? And that's where we came up with the hub. And as mentioned previously, it allows us to push the buyers through our internal system. So we've got 3 systems, customer facing, mm-hmm. internal system, and then hub, which is the agent facing portal. And they have access to be able to find all the direct buyers on there. And as mentioned, we just allow them to upload property details and mm-hmm. then it gets sent directly to the customer or to our in-house concierge team. So it's just about mapping through authentication the home buying journey and who's involved stakeholder-wise into our technologies to make it more streamlined and bringing everybody closer to the transaction. That's ultimately what sped it up. When you look at the automation and speeding up the customer journey, the 2 main things that we did, which is the hub and the mortgage side, has saved a significant amount of time on the discovery side. And then the focus is on our internal system on how we can push that customer journey through. So automating manual tasks, using AI and ML to parse documents and complete application forms. So there is a large, large tech build behind what we do. A very costly server's fee, but it definitely works and we've proven the speed in which we can execute a mortgage.
Amazing. And we've talked about the customers and people buying the houses. How was the relationship with like the banks and the real estate companies?
The banks really appreciate it. I mean, we sit with kind of the senior members of the mortgage teams on a monthly basis. And what we're very proud of is our conversion rate. As a bank, for instance, it's great to receive a lot of business, but if it's all coming in and nothing is completing, you're keeping the staff very busy, but there's no output on that. We've kind of tweaked what we do, and by kind of underwriting the case before it goes down to the banks, we're filtering out cases that the banks would not be wanting in any case. So we do have the highest conversion rates from submission to approval, from the approval through to completion. And that's what the banks love about us. It's us operating as an external sales entity in all intents and purposes, where they're not having to outlay for the marketing costs of acquiring the customer. They don't have to go through the process of onboarding that customer. A lot of situations as well. If you go into the banking network, you're going through five or six different people from the bank through to credit, and we're taking those people out of the equation. There's still direct channels within the banks, but we're a kind of a supplementary source to that. And again, I think that's amplified even more in the Saudi market, where mortgages is a fairly new concept. It's only a matter of years old. And there isn't that kind of fine-tuned process as yet. And this is where we're coming in, is we've sat with the banks, we've found their pain points out, and by digitising that process and streamlining it and giving them a fully digitally packaged case with their credit teams, they can make a kind of instant decision to approve it. So the banks really, really like that. On the other side, with the real estate agencies, we're pushing very, very high intent buyers. So they have an outlet where they can track exactly where their mortgage leads are up to. Historically, it used to be over WhatsApp and things, and you lose sight of it. But now they can give a lead through our app. They can then track exactly where it's up to. They'll find out when it's approved. And again, hopefully that buyer then closes with them. But they also have access to all the rest of our approved buyers. And we tend to sit at kind of about $1 billion of approved buyers within a platform at any one time or going through process. So there's a huge pool of high-intent buyers that are there and available to the real estate agencies.
Fantastic. And another exciting thing, so you've just closed the funding round not that long ago. Yeah, how's that process?
Interesting question. We closed the funding round at the very, very start of this year. Raising funds, I think any founder would say, is a difficult process. You meet a lot of interesting people. You need to be extremely passionate about what you do. And I think given our backgrounds of being in the industry so long, there is that underpinning passion to drive change. We believe that our customers deserve the best. We believe that the banks need the support. That's really important when it comes to fundraising. And then, of course, proving your concept. So we've been through a couple of funding rounds, and generally VC-backed companies will continue to go on those journeys. But yeah, the journey itself, the last round that we did, it involved more our internal investors. So they know what we've achieved. So for them to double down on us, it was a very proud moment. They know what we're capable of. And it would be questionable if they didn't want to do that.
And it just allows us to kind of catapult into the Saudi market. There comes a lot more expense when you're setting up in Saudi than here in the UAE, for instance. So we've got the firepower to double down here, but also then have a good focus on the Saudi market, build up that team, and really launch with a bang into Saudi, probably Q4. We are also exploring other MENA market. The focus is always going to be this region. We've been here for 12 years. We love the opportunities. So we've looked at two or three other jurisdictions, all different countries. We're talking with central banks of a couple of countries about licensing as well. So yeah, the funding from raises such as that allows us to go out and have these conversations. And really, rather than just focusing on one territory, we have the luxury of spreading out a bit. And obviously, Saudi is a huge place to go after first.
And obviously, both of you had a lot of experience in the sector and knowledge, but creating your own company is a completely different thing. What were some of the most challenging things for you, or what advice would you give to other founders that might be starting out their journey now?
Love this question. There's quite a few things to consider. It takes a very certain type of person to be able to start a business. If it's something that you're looking to do, don't procrastinate. Take the first step and you can plan it from there. And that's ultimately what we did. We came up with that idea and we came together. We knew that we both had different strengths. That's something that's really important as well. Get good people around you that are going to support you on your business journey. Moving forward from that is understanding business in itself, understanding unit economics. It's super important that you understand how much you're spending on marketing, how much you're going to get out of that. You don't want a business that you spend $1 and you get half a dollar back. You want to have a strong business that you know for every dollar you put in, how much you're going to get back from that, and how you can create a scalable business. And then that's a decision as well. Do you want to make it a scalable business, or do you want it to be a lifestyle business? That's two very different journeys that you would take. But when it comes to whether it be raising funds or finding the next customer, it's always in search of the next yes. So never be disheartened by no's, whether that be a customer, venture capital. Just keep knocking, keep on going until you get that yes, because it will eventually come. That's one bit of advice that stands by us. We've had journeys where it was the last yes that got us to the next step. So it's something that we stand by.
Yeah, I think it's overcoming those hurdles and being in a position to continue. The UAE and Saudi alike are very friendly for startups, and there's a lot of places you can go and open businesses here. However, there are things that just become ridiculously frustrating. You think this shouldn't be this difficult. Whether it's something major, something minor, we've had it in the past where we're thinking, okay, what's the resolution to this? Do we carry on? In the early days as well, it's a lot more stressful. It might not be that the company's particularly big, but there's a lot more hanging on it if you're a small business and that's your only means of income. So I think you've just got to have that tenacity to keep going, have good people around you as well, touch on who can support you on that journey. This is our second businesses here, our first together. You hopefully we grow this into something, and then we can kind of sit back and we're proud of what we've managed to build there. But I think everybody should give it a go if they want to. Not easy, but you can really take it places.
Obviously, when you create a company, you create it with a vision in mind. Would you say you've achieved it? Are you still, there's a way to go?
Yeah, so our vision is a lot bigger, which might be different to some people's journeys. So initially, the vision was to be a mortgage platform, always focused within the MENA region. And then opportunities come up, and then you see the potential. So I think by us laying the foundations, it's enabled us to say, we can have more of this, and we can support more customers. We can handle more of the transaction. So the ultimate vision is always to be to touch every single transaction in any market. And that would be our absolute North Star metric. But our vision at the moment is to be continue to be the leading player in the MENA region, with a sole focus on direct customers. Because then it allows us to help them with the whole cycle of the home buying journey.
I think if you go way, way back, before we'd even formed the business, we had ideas of where it could go. I think we have surpassed those initial ideas. I think what changed that was getting into kind of VC world and seeing what is available and what opportunities you've got. Way, way back, we were on an accelerator and you were sitting with MDs and kind of owners of huge kind of companies here from the UAE, and they kind of realign your visions to a degree. And that's probably what really spurred us on. So yeah, I mean, we're a fraction of the way now. Our vision has changed completely. We're only a fraction of the way there, but it's going very well.
Amazing. I think that was a great conversation. It's so interesting to hear from both of you. Is there anything that you feel like we missed or that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I just hope anybody who's interested in prop tech, fintech, kind of takes a bit of inspiration from the fact there are opportunities here. It's a sector that we know and love. We're a lot of events at the moment for prop tech and fintech. We're seeing companies who are just starting out, some with absolutely amazing ideas. And it's great for us to actually have kind of conversations with people who are bringing new concepts to the market. So yeah, anybody out there who has an idea, run with it, see what you can do. And yeah, we love this sector. So it's great that we're on this journey together and keep on building.
Perfect. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, Aaron, for coming to the podcast. And thank you for listening to Checkbook by Finance Middle East. To listen to a new episode, please come back next week.